Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's our very special guest from the Elevate Life Church administrative and pastoral teams, Jessica Fielding.
So the last couple of weeks, I have been studying the word and I've been preparing for today. And as I've been preparing, I've been praying, God, what do you want me to speak about? You know, reading God's word, praying, and just really asking God, God, what is the word that you have for your church this morning? And the word that I kept getting was that God wanted me to speak about healing. Well, earlier this or last week, I was prepping all of my notes. I sent them to Selena Lamone and I said, help me come up with a name, a title for my message. And she said, why don't you name it The Healing Touch? The Healing Touch. Well, last week, I don't know about you guys, but I needed literally a physical healing touch. I've been having back and neck problems since I was 10 years old. And I was 10 years old, I got into a really horrible car accident. A driver that was under the influence hit my mom and a few of my cousins head on. They were speeding on Martin Luther King. The car accident was so bad that all of the windows in the vehicle broke. And one of my cousins literally had to get pulled out of the vehicle. While he was getting pulled, he dislocated both of his legs. It was a horrible car accident. And when I was 10 years old, I got a neck injury, but I felt fine after that. And the doctor said, although you feel fine, later in life, you're going to have to go to the chiropractor for maintenance because this issue will still affect you. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I don't know what type of pain you're dealing with. I'm not necessarily talking about physical pain, but I want to talk about emotional pain. I want to talk about trauma that may have happened years ago, but we find ourselves now in a place maybe where we're an adult, where we're later in life, and there's still pain that hurt us from years ago that's still affecting our life today. And so we're going to start by going into Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 26. And before I start, I want to encourage you guys, as much as this is a preaching and I'm teaching to you guys, I want to encourage you guys to participate in today's preaching. Feel free to amen me. Feel free if you hear something that's good, that you're amening me, you're clapping. And the reason I want you to do that is because it's an act of faith. You know, I don't know about you, but when you experience like an amazing product or you hear truth for the first time, maybe it's just my personality, I want to share it with everybody. If there is a new product that I'm trying, you know, I'm like sharing it on Instagram, like, you got to try this out. Maybe it's like the best toothpaste or the best restaurant I ate at. I am a person that just loves to share when I experience something good. And it's because it's like, it's amazing. And so today I want to encourage you, participate in today's preaching and receive it for your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we're going to read out of Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 26. And this is what the word says. It says, and this is Jesus that is saying this. And Jesus says, while he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live. Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her and said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and the people playing pipes, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in, took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the word. I thank you for the word that heals us. I thank you for the word that brings us truth. I thank you for the word that gives us wisdom. And I pray, Lord, that today your word would bring healing. Your word would speak to us. Your word would bring truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, as I was studying, I kept coming to the scripture. And it's where Jesus is at the peak of his ministry. He had been casting out demons. He had been healing people from sickness. He had been supplying food when there was no food. And he's at a moment in his ministry where there is a religious leader, a synagogue leader, a pastor that comes to him and says, "My daughter just died. Jesus, I've been seeing you heal. I know that you can do it. Please come with me." But as he's getting ready to come with this man who needs healing for his daughter that just died, a woman that had been bleeding for 14 years comes up and says, "Wait, Jesus, don't go. I've been dealing with issues of blood. I just need a touch of you, and I know that you can heal me." You know, this story teaches us two things. There's a lot of things it teaches us, but it shows us two things. That there is pain that we all experience. And that pain, some of it might be recent pain. Like the man in the story that just lost his daughter. Can you imagine how this man must have felt? He had all of these dreams for his daughter. His daughter, you know, might have been 5 or 6 years old. And I imagine that him and his wife had all these incredible dreams of his daughter growing up and getting married and all of these incredible things and what it would be like when she was in school and what would it be like when she was a young adult. But one day she was sick and she died. And when she died, all of her dreams died with her that he had. But he was in so much pain, he knew where to go. And he went to Jesus. And as he's at Jesus, he's saying, "Jesus, please come with me. My daughter just died." And while he's there, this woman with an issue of blood that had been having pain in her life for 14 years appears. And as she appears, she basically stops him and she gets healed from him. This lady with an issue of blood, I can imagine the shame that she felt. Biblically speaking, with her dealing with an issue of blood, any time that she appeared at a certain place, she would have to say, "I'm unclean, I'm unclean." She would literally have to say it out loud. And the reason that she had to do that is to try to prevent disease from spreading. And not only did she have to say, I'm unclean," but the people around her also had to say, "This lady's unclean, be careful, this lady's unclean." And I can only imagine how lonely and how shameful this lady felt. Not only was she dealing with this issue of blood, this sickness, but she was alone and she felt shame. You know, it's one thing to go through a sickness like cancer, right? And to be in a hospital room and to be so sick that you can't get up. But it's a whole nother thing to go through sickness and to have nobody around you to encourage you, to pray with you, to lift you up. There's one thing to be sick and to know that people are going to be there, but it's another thing to go through something like addiction and to feel so ashamed to even ask for help. And so today, I'm here to preach a message. I don't know what type of pain you're dealing with, but the truth is that we all have pain in this life. It's a part of being a human. But some of us, we're dealing with pain that is recent. Maybe we're here and we're dealing with a recent betrayal. Maybe we're here and we're dealing with a recent divorce or a recent job loss. Well, I want to encourage you, church, that you came to the right place, because we serve a God that heals. We serve a God that restores. We serve a God that can set us free. And maybe today your pain isn't recent. Maybe your pain has been there for years. Maybe you've been serving God or you've been trying to do your best, but there's been pain. You know, when I went to the chiropractor last week, I was talking to my chiropractor and he was saying, you know, Jessica, you haven't been here for 10 months. Like, where have you been? And I told him, well, you know, like, I've been in pain, but it hasn't been that bad. I've just been pushing through the pain. And he said, when you go through a certain amount of trauma, like physical trauma, because you don't want to stop your whole life, you will just push through that pain and you'll ignore it and you'll try to become numb to it. But there will be moments where you'll get a flare up and you'll have to stop. And the pain will be so debilitating that you won't be able just to push through that pain, that you're gonna have to stop. Some of us, we're not necessarily dealing with physical pain, but we're dealing with emotional pain. We're dealing with past trauma. And we've been doing our best to push through. We've been doing our best to just do our best to raise our kids, to be in a marriage, to do our job. But there's moments in our lives where that pain becomes so severe, that trauma comes up, that loss, the loss of a parent, the divorce, the betrayal comes up. And all of a sudden, we can't keep moving forward. It hurts us to move forward. I don't know what type of pain you come in this morning, but like I said, I know that Jesus heals. There's two things that I came to preach about this morning. The first one is simple. It's that Jesus came to heal you. The second one that I'm going to talk about later is not to give up in your healing. You know, we can't talk about healing without talking about pain. We can't talk about healing without talking about brokenness. We can't talk about healing without talking about trauma. But the whole reason that Jesus came on the earth and lived a humble life and lived a life of brokenness and died on the cross was to heal us. You know, we've all heard the scripture, John chapter 3:16, right? Some of us have heard it since we were kids. We don't even have to be a Christian, and we know that verse. Some of us have it tattooed to us, right? John chapter 3:16. Isn't that right, Dale? Some of us, I'm kidding. Some of us have that scripture tattooed to us. It is a common scripture, and we're going to go ahead and read it. If we can go ahead and put John chapter 3:16 on there. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The reason I'm reading it again is because that verse can become so common that we forget the value that's placed on it. We forget that Jesus literally came and died so that we could be healed. If we look at the verse, what the word perish means, if we can go ahead and get that on the screen. The word perish means to suffer death, typically in a violent, sudden, or ultimate way. And if we can go back to John chapter 3:16, the word perish means to suffer. So if we were to change the word perish in the scripture, it could say, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not have to suffer, shall not have to be in pain, shall not have to be stuck in PTSD, should not have to have trauma, should not have to have addiction, but that Jesus came to give them eternal life. I came to remind you, church, this morning that Jesus came to heal you, that Jesus was crucified on the cross, that his hands, you know, there were nails in his hands and nails in his feet, and there was a thorn of crowns placed on his head, and he was whipped, not just so that we could be forgiven of our sin, but that we could be healed, that we could be healed of anxiety, that we could be healed of trauma, that we could be healed of nightmares and night tremors. And all of the things that go with that, that Jesus came to heal us. You know, the word healing is mentioned in the Bible 149 times. And the word healing is mentioned not just when Jesus was on the earth, but the word healing is mentioned throughout the Bible because it's God's heart for you. There's so many times where I talk to my friends or family members that have children, and they say things like, I wish my kid didn't have to go through this sickness. If I could take this sickness from them, I would be fine with that. Have you ever loved somebody, a loved one, so much, and you saw them in so much pain? Maybe that was physical or emotional pain, and you've said things like, I wish I could take it from them. I wish they didn't have to go through this hard time. I wish they didn't have to go through this pain of divorce or this pain of job loss or this pain of betrayal. Or if you ever had a loved one that had cancer or had a serious injury, and you might have said things like, I wish I could take it from them. If you're a parent, you know what that's like, right? I'm not a parent, but I hear so many parents saying, and they truly mean it. You know, or if they have a loved one that's in prison, I wish I could be there instead of them. We've said things like this because we know what it's like to truly love someone, to truly want to see them set free. Well, I want to encourage you, church, that's not just a thing that God is thinking about. That's not just a thing that Jesus has thought about. That is a thing that Jesus has done for you. That is a thing that Jesus has literally done. He was whipped. He was crucified so we could be healed, so we could be set free. And throughout the Bible, we read about Jesus' healing. If we can go to Matthew chapter 4, verses 23-25. When Jesus was on earth, and when he was at the peak of his ministry, healing people, setting the demon-possessed free, we read about it. And that's what we're going to do right now. It says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 24 now, and I'm going to be reading out of the Passion Translation. It says, in fact, you were called to live this way because Christ also suffered in your place, leaving you his example for you to follow. He never sinned and he never spoke deceitfully. When he was verbally abused, he did not return with an insult. When he suffered, he would not threaten retaliation. Jesus faithfully entrusted himself into the hands of God who judges righteously. He himself carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we would be dead to sin and live for righteousness. Our instant healing flowed from his wounding. Jesus came to set us free. Jesus came to heal us. Jesus came so that we didn't have to suffer, so that our mental health could be restored, so that we wouldn't be having PTSD, so that anxiety wouldn't be there. You know, we're coming out of COVID, we're coming out of the pandemic, and what we have seen in the world is that things like anxiety attacks, things like nightmares, things like depression have been at the highest, and they still are at the highest that they've ever been. And there's no way that I can talk in a room without some of us experiencing that. And I don't come from a place where I have mastered all of these things and I'm completely healed, but I talk to this from a place that I've gone through that. You know, I was talking to a friend recently who had recently injured his ACL, and he was like in a cast and all these things, and he's going through healing. He's out of the cast. He's walking again. And I had asked him, I said, oh, are you able to run? Like, are you back? Are you fully back? And he was saying, no, I'm actually not able to run. You know, when it comes to a physical healing, we have so much more grace for people, right? We wouldn't expect somebody that broke their leg or broke an arm to be 100% normal even 6 months later, even sometimes a year later. But sometimes when it comes to emotional trauma, things like betrayal, things like severe pain, we just tell people, just get over it. Just move past the pain. You'll be fine. I don't know about you guys, but have you guys ever heard about this? You'll just get over it. In a year, you're going to forget about it. You're not even going to remember that this happened. But the thing is that when we don't treat our wounds, when we don't take time to heal, that wound doesn't just become a small wound. It could become things like septic, which means our blood literally gets sick and we can die. You know, when I used to work in community organizations, I worked with an organization that helped people that were experiencing homelessness. And they had wounds, all types of wounds for different reasons. And when I would talk to this organization, they would say, what we're doing here, Jessica, we're not just helping individuals experiencing homelessness, but what we're doing is we're doing healthcare here. Because these people that were experiencing homelessness and they typically had a severe mental health issue, they would have these injuries and they didn't know how to treat them. And if they did not treat that injury within a couple of weeks or a couple of months, it would become so severe, it would become infected to the point that they would sometimes have to be hospitalized. And that's what it's like sometimes with some of the trauma that we go through, that divorce that we go through, the loss of the parent or the grandparent, or maybe the addiction that we're dealing with. We think we can just press through it. We can just press through the pain. Well, just like I mentioned with the chiropractor situation, you're going to have a flare-up. You're going to have a moment in your life where you're doing great, or at least it feels like you're doing great, right? And then you have that trigger moment where you remember about that divorce, or you remember about that betrayal, or you remember about that area of pain that you have. And I don't say that from a person that has never experienced that, but there's been times in my life where I just felt like, man, I'm doing great. Things are going good. I feel good. And then I get triggered, and I remember something that may have happened. I remember maybe abuse that I encountered as a child, or I remember what's going on with my dad, or I remember all of these different things. And it's like, okay, I need to take a moment. You know, maybe you are here in this place and you've been serving God and you've been trying to do your best, but there's moments where that pain comes up. I want to encourage you, remember that God heals. Remember that God came to set you free. Remember that Jesus died on the cross so that you could be healed, so you do not have to suffer. You do not have to perish. You do not have to stay in that state. It is why Jesus came on earth. You know, today I'm going to talk about three different ways that God heals us. And as I talk about these three different ways that God heals us, I want to encourage you. These aren't the only three ways that God heals us, but these are three primary ways that God heals us. The first way that we're going to talk about is that God heals us through counsel, through things like therapy, AA, discipleship, getting mentored, We're going to talk about how God heals us through the word, the Bible, hearing preachings, and how God heals us through prayer. The first one that we're going to talk about is that God heals us through counsel. You know, there's some of us that have gone through some really traumatic things. I don't think you can live in South Sac, right? Without going, am I the only one? Like, there is no way. Like, maybe if I was in a different neighborhood, we could talk about like, oh, maybe you've gone through some things. Like, you can't live in South Sac without going through things. And I don't know, maybe it was in your family, maybe it was in your childhood, but you can't even live in Sac without knowing about these shootings going on, without knowing about these overdoses, without knowing about people that are struggling with addiction. We all have pain. You know, and scientifically, and the research shows that when we go through trauma, that it can literally change our DNA. It can change it. And there's all this research that shows if we go through certain trauma, especially as children, that we are more likely to die 20 years earlier than a person that has never experienced trauma. 20 years earlier. In addition to that, we know that things like trauma can lead to things like cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, you name it. Because there is a direct impact with pain, trauma, and our physical health. We can't ignore it. Some of you guys know what it's like to be stressed out for a season, and all of a sudden you're getting migraines, and all of a sudden you're having back pains, and all of a sudden you can't sleep. We all go through trauma, and there's different ways that God can heal us. One of the ways that I mentioned was through counsel. Right now, I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. And it says, and then finally, you'll admit that you were wrong and say, if only I had listened to wisdom's voice and not stubbornly demanded my own way, because my heart hated to be told what to do. Why didn't I take seriously the warning of my wise counselors? Why was I so stupid to think I could get away with it? Now I'm totally disgraced and my life is ruined. I'm paying the price. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. As I was studying, there were so many different scriptures that I could have used to talk about how God actually talks about the importance of having counsel, having pastors, having leaders over you. But I kept getting drawn back to this scripture because this specific line, it says, why didn't I take seriously the warning of my wise counselors? When we've gone through things like pain and trauma, and just really difficult challenges in life, it can be easy for us to think we can push through it. You know, I started today's message by talking about a car accident that I was in. And I remember being 10 years old in this car accident, and I was hospitalized, a horrible car accident, and the doctor telling me, Jessica, I know that you feel okay right now, but as you get older, you're going to deal with this issue, and you just need to make sure you take care of it. Well, there's times in our life where, again, we get these flare-ups. We get these triggers. We get this different trauma that we go through, just like my back issue. But emotionally, we go through them, right? And we try to push through the pain. One of the ways that God heals us is he sends people to help us out. He sends things like AA and NA and therapy. I believe in Jesus, but I also believe in therapy, you guys. We need to stop making the word therapy or getting counseling such a bad word. Some of us, we know that we've been needing to go to counseling. We've been needing to talk to somebody about our issues and get help and get resources, but we've just been stubborn. And this scripture says, why didn't I take it seriously? Why was I so stupid that I think I could get away with it? You know, it is not wise for us to think we can handle life on our own. It's not wise. Oh, I can just push through the pain. I know I went through things as a kid, or I know I went through that divorce, or I know my marriage is having issues. I know my, you know, me and my family are having issues, but I'm good. That is not wise. Scripturally, we need help. And one of the ways that God heals us is through counsel, is through therapy, is through these different things. And so I want to encourage, if you're here today and you've been thinking, man, I really need to get help, That's not just you thinking that. That is God maybe, you know, giving you a nudge and saying, get some help. It's okay. There's resources available. There's no shame in that. One of the other ways that God heals us is through his word. You know, have you ever gone through a difficult time in life and you're just like, I feel like I need to go to church. I feel like I just need to put some worship music on. I feel like I just need to listen to some sermons on YouTube. I want to encourage you, church, that's not just because it makes you feel better. It does, though, right? Coming to church when you're going through a difficult time, sometimes all you need is to hear some worship music and to hear a preaching, and you get out and you just feel different. Scripturally and biblically, that's because God's word says that it heals us. You know, in the book of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was Jesus. Jesus's Word heals us. Whenever you're going through a difficult time, I encourage you, that is not the time to stop going to church. That is the time to get into church and to hear the Word of God spoken to you, spoken to your mind, and spoken to your heart. Because that is where God heals you. In Psalms chapter 107, verses 20, it says, he sends his word and heals me and rescues me from the pit and destruction. In Psalms 119, verses 50, it says, I hang on to these words for dear life. These words hold me up in bad times. Yes, your promises rejuvenate me. There are so many scriptures that say things like, before I even pray, you kneel down to hear my word, to hear me speak. There's so many different verses about us being in the word and us being in prayer. And I want to encourage you again that if you are needing healing, you do whatever you do to get to church on Sunday. You do whatever you got to do to get to small group. You do whatever you do to put up that Bible app or to get in your word in the morning. Some of us were going through such a difficult time in life, and we're going through this pain, whether it's recent pain or it's pain that we experienced as a child. I want to encourage you, get in your word. On early in the morning, make it a point to be in your word, because that is where healing is found. That is where you're spending time with Jesus. That is where he will speak to you and show you hidden things and help you think right. Because I don't know about you, there are times in my life where I'm not thinking right. I know I'm not. I know that there's past trauma that's affecting me. I know that maybe there's a moment where I'm dealing with anxiety. You know, I feel like it was only maybe within the last 8 years that I've really understood or began to understand what anxiety is. Even that word, I didn't know what it was, or anxiety attacks or panic attacks. But I realize now that when I was 10 years old, that that's what I was dealing with. That I was dealing with things like anxiety attacks and panic attacks. It's one thing to know what you're dealing with, but here's the thing. It's just kind of like a sickness, right? Oh, what am I sick with? You want to know. But it doesn't matter what type of trauma or what type of pain you're dealing with. Jesus is the ultimate healer. Jesus can heal pain. He can heal trauma. He can heal PTSD. He can heal nightmares. I don't know what type of pain you are dealing with, but I want to encourage you, church. Jesus can heal you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was Jesus. There's so many times in my life where I think, gosh, I wish I could just physically sit down right here in my living room, on my couch, in the coffee shop, and talk to Jesus. Am I the only one, right? I feel like, man, especially when I'm going through hard times, like, I wish Jesus was just right here so that I could talk to him. Or even when I'm not going through hard times, like, I think, what questions am I going to ask Jesus when I see him? I want to encourage you. We don't have to wait till we're in heaven to communicate to Jesus. We can communicate to Jesus on earth. We can communicate to Jesus in our car. We can talk to Jesus when we're at home. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was Jesus. If you're waiting on a word for Jesus, from Jesus, you've been praying, I want to ask you, have you been in your Word? If you've been praying, God, just give me a sign, you know? There's this movie, there's all these movies, right? God talks to us in weird ways, or God, you know, shows us signs. That's how he talks to us. That is false. How God talks to us is through his word. How God talks to us is through us opening up our word. How God talks to us is through preachings. How God talks to us is maybe through a worship song where his word is proclaimed over us. God doesn't move in mysterious ways. Stop looking for a sign. Stop, just that mysterious sign is going to pop up. No, the sign is here. Jesus died, and his word is here to bring us healing. So get in your word, church. Get in your word. Make it a point. You're going through this difficult time waiting on that mysterious sign, waiting for this illusion to appear. But Jesus is appearing, and he's saying, healing is here. There's so many times where I might be confused, or I'm trying to make a decision, or I'm dealing with things, and all I have to do is turn to his word. Like I mentioned, being in church isn't just a feeling. It's a real thing. Jesus is healing us through his word. And so although you're waiting to be at a coffee shop or in your living room with Jesus, Jesus is communicating through his word. Don't give up on his word. My other point of a way that Jesus heals us is through prayer. Yes, there's things like therapy. Yes, there's the Bible. But there is also prayer. If we can go to James chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. It says, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith with him, with the sick person, I'm sorry, the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Again, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders. Let them call the leaders. Let them call their brothers and sisters at church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. So many times we give up on the power of prayer because we've been praying and we haven't seen the breakthrough we want. Because we've been praying and we feel like, God, are you even really listening to me? Or we're praying and we're like, this feels so awkward. Like, oh my gosh, like, am I doing it right? There's so many times that I talk to people and they say, I don't even know if I'm praying right. You know, like I was mentioning earlier, there's so many scriptures where God says, even before we start speaking, God is kneeling down to hear us. God wants to hear your prayer. Don't stop praying for your family. Don't stop praying for those who are sick. Don't stop praying for your kids. Don't stop praying for those that are battling addiction. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep declaring the word over them because God is moving. It's a way that he not only heals us, but he heals other people. There's so many times where we're going through things, but let's be honest, we are embarrassed to ask for someone to pray for us. Why are we like that? We are in service and they do an altar call. Pastor does an altar call, but we are nervous to go up because we don't want people to know that we're struggling. And you're going to keep struggling until you learn, until you make the decision to get prayed over, until you make the decision to be real with someone. But here's the thing is that God wants to heal you. There's been times where I've been sick or I've been dealing with things like anxiety or depression, and somebody just prays over me and lays hands and agrees with the word of God that I am healed. And just like that, I'm able to walk out and all of a sudden I feel lighter. I feel healed. And it's because in the Bible it says the prayer offered in faith. God is healed. God is seeing, God is hearing, and God is moving. We're not like these Avengers or superheroes, you know. There's nothing special about us as leaders or as people when we pray over somebody. What it is, it's faith. It's us declaring the word of God. And so later today, we're going to be praying over people. And I want to encourage you, if you've been dealing with pain, with trauma, with anxiety, with addiction, to be open, to know that God wants to move on your behalf. Because so many times we're going and trying to cope in these positive ways, right? Oh, I just need to go to counseling. Oh, I just need to read the self-help book. And we forget that there is power in the word of God. We forget that there is power in prayer. We forget that there is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in this church. But we're willing to go to doctors. We're willing to go to medication. And those are the healthy ways. What about the unhealthy ways that we cope? Through weed, through alcohol, through porn? What is gossiping, codependency? All of these different ways that we cope in an unhealthy way, and we don't go to the source, to the person that can heal us, to Jesus that died on the cross, that was whipped so that we would not have to perish. It all goes back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him would not have to perish, would not have to suffer, would not have to be filled with anxiety, would not have to be filled with PTSD, but that they would be healed, that they would be whole. And some of you guys are in this room and you're thinking, I can literally hear it. God, I wonder what that's like to feel peace, right? I wonder what it's like to be able to go throughout the day and not have this anxiety, social anxiety, right? That's a big thing right now. To not have to feel depressed. I hear what Jessica's saying, but I don't know if that's for me. I just feel that, and I sense God saying there is healing for you. That you have came to the right place at the right time. It wasn't a coincidence that you're here. It's not a coincidence that this word is being preached. You've been wanting to get set free. I don't, you know, from the youngest to the oldest in this place, you have been wanting to get free. Maybe you experienced pain recently, trauma recently, or maybe it's been years. You've been praying for years. And I'm going to get ready to end, and I don't know if we can get a piano player up here or someone up here. Maybe it's been years that you've been believing in your healing. I'm at my last point, and I want to encourage you, don't give up on your healing. Do not give up on your healing. When you have dealt with pain for years, it's easy to give up though, right? It's easy just to think like me, right? My back problem, it's like I'm just going to push through the pain. But what happens when you're pushing through emotional pain? And literally, it's like you have a broken leg. That pain that may have happened in your childhood or happened years ago shows up in family, shows up in drama, shows up in your relationship, shows up in you not able to trust again, shows up in you having anxiety attacks throughout the day, shows up with you waking up every day at 3 a.m., I'm not preaching this message as somebody that has never gone through it, as somebody that has never dealt with these issues. I am speaking as somebody that still has to go to Jesus, that still has to go to my word, that still goes to therapy, that still goes to prayer and says, God, heal me. God, there's still healing for me. But I also come as somebody that has been in the word. I come as somebody that has been prayed over, with somebody that's still praying and still believing. But there's some of us that we have given up. We've given up on the healing for ourselves. We've given up on the healing for others. We've stopped believing that God can heal addiction. We've stopped believing that God can heal PTSD because we're still dealing with it. We've stopped believing that God can heal our families. But I want to encourage you, God is still healing. In Luke chapter 15, verses 14 through 20, last week as I was prepping, these scriptures kept coming to mind about the prodigal son. And I was thinking, why is this coming to me? Like, this has nothing to do with healing. It has something to do with a man that, you know, wanted his dad to die so that he could have his inheritance and lived it up and made some horrible mistakes and got forgiven. But I kept getting drawn to the scripture. And it says in Luke chapter 15, verses 14, this is about the prodigal son. We've all heard the story. Again, he wanted his dad to die, made some horrible mistakes, and this is where we find the man. It says, and when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself and he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him." Why do I bring the scripture up as I'm talking about healing? Because as we read, and I'm going to go back to it, the man says he's starving, he's feeding pigs, he's so desperate that he's wanting to eat the pig food. I mean, I have a dog, and I have never been so hungry that I thought my dog's food was good. This man was desperate for healing, for desperate to be fed. And then he says, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? But I perish, but I'm suffering, but I'm in pain." And then it says he remembers who his father was. So many of us, we've been serving God for months, for years, shall I say decades, but we have forgotten that our Father God is the God that heals. We have forgotten that our Father God is the God that restores. We have forgotten that our Father God is the God that set us free from addiction, that our Father God took us out of abuse, that our Father God is the one that restores, and that our Father God is the one that is still wants to heal you. He still wants to set you free. There may be, just like my friend that I told you guys about that tore his ACL and is starting to walk. He's not running yet, but he's walking. He's gone through some healing. Some of you today, you have been serving God. You have been trying to do your best, and there is a certain amount of healing. You're not where you used to be, but where you are not where you need to be. And that is who I'm speaking to today, because God wants to heal you. What I love about this, as I get ready to wrap up, it says that the father was so excited to see him come home. It says that as he takes one step to his father, that while he was a long way off, his father was so excited and filled with compassion and ran to him and hugged him and was so excited that he was home. Some of you guys have been trying to stuff that pain down, just trying to get over that trauma. And as today, you're taking one step and saying, "God, I'm not over it. That hurt. That divorce hurt. That betrayal hurt. That job loss hurt. That friendship that ended hurt. What my parents did to me hurt." And as you begin to take steps towards God, and steps towards therapy, and steps towards getting prayer, I believe that as you take one step, God is taking hundreds towards you. As you're taking one step, God is running to you and saying, "I have healing for you. I have so many things for you. I'm so excited. I'm so excited that you've taken the step of healing. I'm so excited that you're not pushing the pain down anymore. My heart is for you. I don't want to see you in pain." You know, I talked earlier about a parent when they see their child in pain, they want to do everything that they can do to ease that child from pain. That is the Father's heart for you today. He is looking at you, for those of you guys that are dealing with pain. And his heart is saying, "I want to heal you. You don't have to go through this alone. My heart is for you. I know you've been afraid. I know how hard it's been for you. I want to heal you."
I think that this is your way of telling me something. Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store. And you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.